Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. With the Democrats back in the majority in the U.S. Senate, Vermont's two senators find themselves in leadership positions on some of the most important committees in the Senate, committees that could have an enormous impact on the lives of many people. Senator Patrick Leahy is the new chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and Senator Bernie Sanders will be the new head of the Senate Budget Committee. And joining us now to discuss these changes is Senator Patrick Leahy. Senator, many thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I know it's a busy day for you.
Well, it is, but, you know, Bob, before I came on, I was listening to your discussion with Jim Condos. He has really become the gold standard for the whole country in the way he handles, he and our town clerks handle voting in Vermont. And it just makes such a, I mean, Jim and I have known each other forever, but I call him periodically just to say keep going. But in the Senate, I'm sorry when I got delayed. One of the things as president pro tem of the Senate, customarily I open the Senate. And so, you know, I'm the one that says we're ready to go. And I think they use a little bit more technical term than that, but that's where I was. Fortunately, my office is just a few steps from the floor of the Senate.
Senator, yesterday in his inaugural address, President Joe Biden called for unity in this country, to end political fighting, to respect people with different points of view instead of vilifying them. Do you think our political system is capable of making this change, or is turning back the clock really an unrealistic expectation?
Republicans and Democrats I talk with would like to see us start turning back the clock. They know that this past 4 years was wrong, that the riots and the insurrection at the Capitol showed that. I talked yesterday with former Presidents Obama and Clinton and George W. Bush. I talked with each one of them what they were thinking. And one of the reasons they said all three of them were there, and in fact, President Carter would have been there too, except for his age. And they wanted to show, here's Republicans and Democrats together. They wanted to show not only the United States, but the rest of the world that we're a democracy and we can come together. And I think that's, that was also what President Biden's speech was about. And I talked with a number of Republicans and Democrats in the leadership, both the House and the Senate. And for the most part, they were, let's get back to normal. And I would hope that everybody would listen to the amazing youth poet laureate, Amanda Gorman. Here, I've never seen so much attention given to somebody speaking at an inauguration as it was for Ms. Gorman. And she said, our democracy is not broken. It's just unfinished. And the applause she got, again, from Republicans and Democrats alike, it gave me hope. I think those of us who would listen to what she said would realize we do have a democracy. And then I thought that President Biden, unlike the last inaugural speech, President Biden reached out to everybody. I remember when he said, whether you voted for me or voted against me, I'm going to work just as hard for you. And that's the way it has to be. I mean, that's, you know, when I first got elected, we were the only state in the union that never elected a Democrat. And I said to I went around the state after that election, and I said the same thing. Whether you voted for me or voted against me, I'm there to represent all Vermonters, and that's what I've done.
Today in the program, our guest for a limited time is Senator Patrick Leahy. If you've got a question, give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. So let's turn to David in Irisburg. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on. My question is, once impeachment is resolved, if there is no impeachment, will there be at least censorship for the past president and those that supported the riot?
There is a growing feeling that there should be. Whether there will be or not, I don't know, especially in an evenly divided Senate. We would have to have strong bipartisan support for it. I think a lot of people will tell you privately, of course, there should be censure. I couldn't help but think, as this was all going on, Richard Nixon committed some crimes, and he resigned. Donald Trump's crimes were far, far worse than those that President Nixon committed, and he didn't resign. I think a lot of people, again, in both parties, would have felt far better if he had followed President Nixon's example and simply resigned. And Mike Pence could have stepped in and become president.
Senator, just recently in the last couple of minutes, you talked about the need to unify this country. What do you say to those Republicans who argue that going ahead with impeachment will actually hurt efforts to unify the country?
Well, I also point out the Republican leader said he assumes there will be impeachment. And I think it depends if it's done fairly and we work together on many other things, we can unify. You know, Donald Trump is not the country. No one of us individually is the country. We may represent it. And I think we have to bring the country back together. We have to show that nobody's above the law. So when you incite a riot and five people die, you don't say, we might cause partisanship if we say anything about it. You just can't do that. I was a prosecutor for 8 years. Somebody broke the law. I felt there's consequences for that.
Do you have any concerns that focusing on impeachment for, let's say, the next couple of weeks might take attention away from President Biden's agenda for the first 100 days?
Well, he has 4 years in his agenda. I would hope that we can do two things at once. We always have in the past. I think it requires the Senate and the House to work long hours. Work long weeks, we can do all this. And there will be some who will object, of course. We could also be debating COVID relief, and you'd have some that would object that we're doing too much, others that we're doing not enough. Let's get here and let's actually vote on things.
Senator, there are some members of Congress who think it's unconstitutional to impeach a president after that person has left office. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I've asked the best lawyers I can find that question, because I'm wondering, I asked the exact same question. They seem to say that, no, because he was impeached while still president, that the Senate, some would say the Senate has the duty to hear the case. The impeachment's already happened. It's the trial that comes now, and depending on how the trial goes, there are consequences for that. So the constitutional experts I've talked with feel that we have the right to go forward, and some would say, concerning the fact that he was impeached, we have the duty to go for it. But I'd like to see us be able to get to things like the Voting Rights Act, which we really need to, immigration reforms, a number of these things, go back to something like the comprehensive immigration reform that I passed through the Senate when I was chairman of Judiciary. We have a whole lot of things, and we're still suffering throughout the country because of the mismanagement of the COVID situation, and that's going to take a while to get people back to work, to get people vaccinated, to get the country back where it can operate. I've talked with our governor and key legislators in Vermont, what we should be doing, what would be most helpful. And I know a lot of other senators are doing that. And as chairman of the Appropriations Committee, I'm going to bring Republicans and Democrats together and sit down and say, okay, let's leave our political hats at the door. Sit down. What are some of the things that we can do right away in appropriations to help people in all 50 states who are suffering?
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Michelle, who is calling from East Dorset. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Thank you, Senator, for making yourself available today. You know what? I was watching TV last night, and I was watching that great inaugural celebration that we had. And my favorite part was seeing the three former presidents together speaking about how we all need to come together and work to be one country again. I think that needs to be role modeled for us. We need to see leaders like you talking with Senator Romney and people like that. Do you think that's a realistic goal? Can we come together and see some role modeling going on here?
Hey, I think it can be. I talked with President Bush and President Clinton and President Obama yesterday. I told each one of them I was so pleased they were there to give just that image. Now, I've talked with a number of senators. As President Pro Tem, I at these ceremonial offices, which look nice, but I want to use them. And I've talked to both Republicans and Democrats and said, why don't we start sitting down together, all of us, and talk about things we can do. One of the people I talked with was Senator Romney. I was actually talking with he and Senator Murkowski of Alaska. Both of them immediately said, yes, you call that meeting, we'll be there. And every Republican I've talked with, every Democrat I've talked with, when I've talked about having these kind of meetings, every one of them has said, you have the meeting, we will be there. Now, that I realize what I'm doing is part of it as Dean of the Senate, as President Pro Tem, they can look at me as one who can stand above the fray if need be, and they're willing to. We've got to come back together. We cannot have the kind of a polarized country that would bring about the riots and insurrection we saw and the people killed just a week ago.
Michelle, thanks for your phone call. Senator, as the new chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, one of your first major jobs is going to be to consider President Biden's nearly $2 trillion COVID-19 stimulus package. It's a bill that would send $2,000 checks to most Americans, provide grants for small businesses, extend unemployment benefits, allocate new money for states to help them deal with pandemic-related revenue deficits, more money for the distribution of vaccines. Do you anticipate that this legislation will receive strong and speedy support in your committee?
I hope it will. We've been, I know my committee and my staff, we've been working weekends, evenings, everything else with the incoming administration, with now President Biden, and to see areas that we can agree on. I want, and President Biden wants, something that could have strong bipartisan support. There may be a few little things change here and there, but and among the things I want to make sure it does, you know, the last COVID bill, Vermont got $1.5 billion primarily because of the what's called the Leahy small state minimum. And what I'm urging is look at smaller states. We don't have the infrastructure big states have. we will need more help, certainly on a per capita basis. But we all have special problems. You know, one of the things that happened is that the last administration did a lot of press conferences. We're going to have Operation Warp Speed and all of that. Well, it was symbolism without substance. I remember the head of it said, well, no, we didn't get our vaccines out in time in December because we had snowstorms and then there was Christmas and New Year's. And I'm like, are we supposed to be amazed that we had snow in December and that we had Christmas and New Year's at the end of December? I mean, the lack of planning was so bad. But I think rather than spending our time criticizing people who screwed up the planning, let's just try to get it right, because we are having an unprecedented number of deaths in this country at all age levels. I want to know that my neighbors in Vermont and people I know around the country can get their shots and get them soon and safely.
So would it be fair to say, as the new chairperson of the Senate Appropriations Committee, that you feel that this stimulus bill needs to be a pretty big piece of legislation, that the time to sort of nickel and dime this is over, that you want to put some real money to work? Is that fair?
I think if we're going to turn this economy around, put people back to work, open up our small businesses, get our schools going, get our hospitals back on footing, it has to be a big package. I don't think we can do any nickel and diming, because certainly a state like Vermont would be badly hurt, but then so would every other state. We need people back to work. We need people back to school. We need our businesses functioning, and we need people in the wealthiest, most powerful nation on earth. We can't have homelessness and hunger, as we've seen since COVID came running in.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Kathy in Danville. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. This is Kathy in Danville, as you said, and I'm wondering, Senator, I really am grateful for your service to the state, but I'm wondering what you think the legislature could do in the instance of changing some of your rules to make legislature more effective, specifically getting rid of filibuster and the need for supermajorities to get something done. That's my question.
Okay. You're talking about the Congress, not the state legislature. Yeah,
right.
It's interesting, under Mitch McConnell, he was perfectly willing to get rid of supermajorities and filibusters as he ran to special interest federal judges. And these special interest groups were bringing up nominations for judges that normally would not be able to get through. He ran them through. As a result, now people are looking at that on other legislation. I worry that people have gotten to the point that they don't want to vote on anything. And that's, if you don't want to vote, then don't be in the Senate. You don't belong here. And so I think that there will be, just a long way around of saying there may well be some changes on some things. They may allow an extended period of time, but then on debate, but then things would have to pass by 51 votes.
And Senator,
I'm willing to see something tried for a while, but you know the thing. Right now, there are some hard feelings when Mitch McConnell is willing to break all the past rules and precedents to put through these special interest judges.
Senator, just so folks understand, right now with the filibuster, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it really takes 60 senators to advance legislation in the United States Senate on most bills. And if you do away with the filibuster, you'd be back to a simple majority again?
That's basically it. I think we can do better than that. For example, in the Appropriations Committee, since I've been vice chairman and Dick Shelby is chairman, and will be reversed now, we passed most of our appropriations bills out with 75 to 90 votes on them. And so it has not been a problem. But I think I think the idea that basically anybody can stand up and say, hey, I as a lone senator can stop this legislation. No, that's wrong.
Right at the beginning of the interview, Senator, you mentioned that you had just come over from the Senate chamber, where as president pro tem of the Senate, you started and initiated today's session. This honor goes generally to the member of the majority party who has the most seniority, and that's you. You're also third in line of presidential succession behind Vice President Harris and House Speaker Pelosi. Do you receive special briefings? How do they keep you informed as to what's happening?
I want to be careful how I answer this. Yes, I get special briefings, but I did anyway because of my position as one of the two leaders of appropriations, which gets a lot of special briefings. Now I have some of a different kind. If the, for example, if there is a joint session of Congress where the vice president, the president, and the speaker are all going to be there, you usually have somebody out at a safe location in case disaster struck to take over the presidency. I've actually done that on different times. And it's a very, very sobering thing when you're there and you're looking at the nuclear football sitting just a few feet from you. That's what they call the very large briefcase that has all the codes for a nuclear war. But I do get some pretty extensive briefings. But so, of course, the vice president has those and the speaker of the House does. You know, you want to be prepared. You pray that nothing happens. I want Joe Biden to be able to serve out his term. I want the vice president to serve out her term. We don't want something to happen, but after what we saw the other day, we have to realize we're living in a different world. The one thing I have to try to get used to is it looks like there's a raid on my house any time of day or night with all the big black cars around it, and getting used to the security. Fortunately, they are the nicest men and women you might ever know.
And that's a big change for you. I remember when you were president pro tem before, I believe back around 2012 or so, you were assigned to Secret Service detail, and wherever you went, they were two or three steps behind you.
It's called the Protective Division of the Capitol Police, but I had a hard time. I really had a hard time getting used to it. One of the things, you know, Marcel and I are pretty casual. We like talking to people when we're coming out of church on Sunday, or if we're in the grocery store, or just walking down the street. We just love talking to people, and I think sometimes people got nervous to approach us because of these people with the you know, the earplugs and walking carefully around us. And we try to make sure everybody knows we're still very, very approachable. Since in session, the neighborhood where we live in the Washington area, we try to go out for a 2 or 3 mile brisk walk every day, and neighbors will say hi and all. And we've been alerting them, please feel free to keep on saying hi just because there's people around. And it's going to be the same way when we're in our home in Middlesex or my office in Montpelier or my office in Burlington. I want people to feel free to come up and say hi to me. As you know, Bob, one of the things we love doing is going, and this will probably depend upon where we are with COVID, but we love to go to the farmer's market in Montpelier. I see everybody I know. I see classmates of mine from when I was in high school, and it is just so much fun to get caught up.
Senator Patrick Leahy is the new chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and as such will have an enormous influence on the spending policies of this new Congress. Senator Leahy, many thanks for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Bob. And you're one of the people I hope to see in person when we can finally be back up there.
That would be great.